3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, May 26th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. How will generative AI tools like ChatGPT change the education system? That's a question on top of a lot of parents' and teachers' minds. On today's show, we'll bring you a conversation from this year's Future of Everything Festival, featuring the founder of Code.org, a nonprofit that focuses on bringing computer science into classrooms. He talked about how the next generation of students will live and learn in an AI-enabled world. That's coming up. But first, Celsius has named Fahrenheit as its winning Chapter 11 bidder. The bankrupt cryptocurrency lender has reached a deal to be managed by a group of investors led by TechCrunch founder Michael Arrington. As part of the plan, the firm's liquid cryptocurrency will be distributed to account holders, there will be settlements with holders of custody accounts, and a new reorganized public company will be created to manage Celsius's illiquid assets. Celsius account holders will receive 100% of the equity in the reorganized company, subject to management fees, and Fahrenheit will purchase $50 million of equity in the new company. Microsoft President Brad Smith called for the U.S. government to create a new agency that would regulate artificial intelligence systems like ChatGPT. Smith said a new federal agency to oversee AI's development is the most sensible course. He was in Washington yesterday to give a speech making the case for regulation. Sam Altman, the CEO of ChatGPT creator OpenAI, made similar comments to a congressional panel last week. Smith's comments come as Washington considers how to respond to rapid consumer adoption of generative AI systems. Speaking of which, TikTok is getting into the generative AI space. The social media company is testing out its own AI chatbot called Taco, designed to help users find content. TikTok said Thursday that it's been testing the feature in the Philippines. In a tweet, it said Taco is powered by a third-party chat assistant and that there are no current plans for the chatbot beyond these early tests. Our reporter, Sarah Needleman, has more.
It works similar to others if you've ever played around with ChatGPT, where you're basically typing in a text prompt. You could ask a question and it will spit out an answer in text, but it will also suggest links to videos related to whatever question you asked or whatever topic you're discussing back and forth, because you could have a conversation with it. Really, the general idea here is to boost engagement. So you go onto TikTok, you're looking for something in particular, or there's a certain subject area you like and you want to see videos related to it, and that will just keep you hooked longer and longer, which is generally the goal with social media platforms. Chatbots using generative AI to function, they're really all the rage right now. You see them in multiple apps, and tech experts say it's really going to revolutionize the tech industry and change how we do our jobs. So this is part of a big trend that's happening right now. And it's no surprise that one of the biggest social media apps is jumping on it.
All right, staying on generative AI, it is no surprise students have been using it for school. So, how will teachers need to adapt as such tools become more prevalent? We'll have more on that after the break.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Parents and teachers have been worried about the way generative artificial intelligence tools like ChatGPT could impact learning. Hadi Partovi is the founder and CEO of Code.org, a nonprofit focusing on computer science education. He sat down with the Wall Street Journal's editor for Europe, Middle East, and Africa, Thorold Barker, at this year's Future of Everything Festival. And they talked about how schools will need to adapt to students' growing use of AI, the impact AI will have on inequality, and more. Here are highlights from their conversation.
What should schools be doing? Let's start short term. I mean, what should their short term response to this be?
So the most common short term response has been banning the use of things like ChatGPT, which I'm not sure is terrible as a short term response. First of all, because many of these AI tools aren't licensed for use by students who are under 18. but also because schools are currently assigning homework that could just be done in a second by an AI. But what schools really need to be thinking about is how to change not only how we teach, but even what we teach, what we expect students to learn, so that instead of teaching memorization and rote practice, we teach creativity, problem-solving, critical thinking, and the use of technology for doing the things that right now students are doing by pen and paper. And I honestly think education is going to need to change not only once, but education is going to need to start becoming a more adaptive system. We invented the global education system for the technology of centuries ago, with the printing press and books as the main technology for information gathering. And our education system is designed around reading everything you can and then getting all the knowledge inside your head. And now we have information at your fingertips and AI that can synthesize even new thoughts and bring things together. We need to rethink how we teach in a world where lifelong learning is how we work things, not just 16 years of learning.
So what are you most excited about? I mean, if you could point to something that you hope is changed in 10 years' time in schools, I mean, what are the one or two things you'd really love to see?
I mean, it's very hard to think 10 to 10 or more years' time, but it's worth noting that a student starting kindergarten today is going to be graduating in the late 2030s.
Yeah.
And so our school system needs to think about what are things going to look like then. But I believe in the long run, education will be much more personalized, and AI is going to be much more of a tutor that you learn from, and your teacher is going to be much more of a coach. And the personalization of learning also means much more adaptation of what a student's passions are, rather than everybody needs to memorize the same information from all these subjects. There's a smaller level of stuff that everybody's going to need to know in their heads, with access to a lot more depth if they use technology and AI for learning.
Is this an opportunity to reduce inequality? Is it going to increase inequality of education? What's going to happen with this?
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Access to computers and the internet is not equal. And so for folks who don't have that kind of access, this will widen those gaps. But for folks who do have digital access, it's very much of an equalizer. Because the more of a role AI plays as a teacher, as a tutor, everybody will have the same high-quality tutor. Right now, the quality of teaching varies very much from classroom to classroom, from country to country, but the quality of the technology that they use is much more equal.
And are you seeing, I mean, if you look at, you know, take New York City, you talked about the fact that, you know, you're not meant to use it under 18, and public schools have said you can't use it for reasons of gaming tests, etc. Has the same happened in the private system, and are you seeing a very different approach from those two systems?
Right now it's different, and that's part of the irony. In New York City, in the public school system, these AI tools are banned.
Right.
At Dalton, the private school, you know, there's courses that teach how to do prompt engineering using AI. And prompt engineering, just learning how to use these AI tools that most creatively, leads to a six-figure salary,
right.
But it's being taught in the private school, not the public school. But that's a short-term situation. I think both should be arriving at the same place in the long run.
So short-term, it widens that gap. Longer-term, you hope it'll...
I think it's going to be a great equalizer.
Yeah. What are the biggest dangers of this coming into the curriculum that you see?
So
I mean, you know, obviously you're trying to get it learnt about so people understand how AI works, and I assume the shortcomings and everything else around it, and also they use it for teaching. But what is the danger here? A lot of people.
There's many risks, and part of the reason schools have been banning this, the main reason they've been banning it is it does all the homework for you, so they're not sure what the meaning of the way the school system works is going to be if it does that. But there are other risks. There's certainly the risk of misinformation, because the way generative AI works, it doesn't know everything. It's kind of a really well-optimized guessing machine. Bias is another issue, because the data that AI has trained on is human information and human learning, and if that human-created learning has bias, the AI will perpetuate that bias. Student privacy and data privacy is another risk. But what I'd say is the greatest risk of all is not changing, not evolving education, and just assuming that the education system from the 1800s is going to be equally relevant in the 2030s. That, I think, is the biggest risk of all.
Hadi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Before we go, a quick programming note. We'll be off on Monday for Memorial Day, but we will be back in your feed on Tuesday. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. And I'm Julie Chang, filling in for our host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.